an Advent Bible study written by Adam Hamilton, and it's called Not a Silent Night. And this book is going to tell Jesus' story from Mary's perspective, but it's going to go from the end of her life and go backwards. So this week, what all of us read was actually about the end of Mary's life. From here, we're going to get closer and closer and closer, moving backwards to Jesus' death next week. Then, in 2 weeks, we're going to go closer and closer and closer, and we're going to go to when he was 12 years old in the temple. Then eventually we're going to get to his birth, and even before his birth, with Mary's first visit from the angel Gabriel. Today's Old Testament scripture from Jeremiah is a promise of what this book talks about. A promise that it will happen. It's in the Old Testament, so it hadn't happened yet, but it is a prophecy of that event coming. And that prophecy said that a branch of David's tree would come. The word Advent literally means coming. So, today we begin to prepare for a branch of David's tree to come. We prepare for the coming of Christ. The imagery of a tree is a really helpful one in our faith. In fact, it is through Old Testament prophecies like this, relating our faith and our connection to it as a tree, it is through those images in the Old Testament that the term family tree comes from. Our family tree is one with many, many great differences, lots of diversity. Christianity is celebrated all over the world in different languages, in different countries, in different styles. But as different as they are, their faith in the one thing remains the same. And it is that faith in Jesus Christ that keeps all of us connected no matter how different we are. We're all connected through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the imagery of a tree is extremely helpful when trying to understand that connectedness. On our tree, God is the roots. Well, what do roots do? They do many things, actually. Some of them that we may not have even known before. First, as we talked about with the kids, they firmly settle the tree into the ground. This is a firm foundation that cannot be shaken. Trees, what do they go through? They go through the extremes of every season. Yet, there they are. For us, this means that God, too, is unable to be shaken. That God, too, can weather any storm and go through any season. And with God as your roots, so can you. Through your faith in Jesus Christ, no matter the weather, no matter how strong the wind, you cannot be shaken if you have faith in Jesus Christ. The roots also bring food and energy, water, nourishment to the whole tree. It is because of the roots that the entire tree, from the biggest branch to the tiniest bud, is given life. And by the way, through trees which give off oxygen, guess who else gets to live? Us. So it is through this imagery of a tree that God can give life to the world. It is through God that we get food and energy. The roots can actually break through rock and soil. That's a great image of our God, isn't it? That no matter what obstacle is standing in your way, with your faith in Jesus Christ, you too can get through and break through any obstacle in front of you. The prophecy from Jeremiah promises that a branch of David's tree, a biological descendant of David, would come. The prophecy says that when this branch of David's tree comes, great things will happen. Under his reign, wisdom will prevail, and justice and righteousness will take over the land. When the branch of David's tree comes, Israel will be saved and will live. As Christians for the last 2,000 years, we have had a name for this branch: Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah. The New Testament scripture from Colossians makes it clear that Jesus, who is that biological descendant of David's tree, did bring wisdom and social justice, righteousness, and salvation to the world as the actual image of God. Many other scriptures emphasize that Jesus is God on earth, God in human form, God's Word becoming flesh. It is extremely important to think that even though God could have saved us any way that God wanted to, how did God choose to do it? God chose to save us by coming down to our level, by becoming more like us, by becoming one of us, by becoming human, and by giving us a way to hold our hands as we try to become more like God. Even before his coming, the prophecy of Jeremiah made it clear that the Messiah would come in ways that we could understand, in ways that we could see, and in ways that we could relate to. That this would not be some mind-blowing event that would actually be incomprehensible to some people. God did not want to make this a thing about knowledge, a thing about divisiveness that only some can see. God wanted this event to be for everybody. So God came to be one of us. The prophet used imagery that human beings could wrap their minds around. A lot of things like Jesus would do in his later scriptures. Making things understandable, comprehensible. Things that culturally and historically people knew what he meant, even though maybe 2,000 years later it's difficult for us because we don't live when and where he did. But where and when he was, this imagery worked. They understood what he meant. The Messiah will come the same way we all came, through human birth from a human woman. The Messiah will enter the same world that all other humans enter into, a broken world, a world of struggle, a world of power-hungry religious and government leaders, a world of us versus them, a world where sickness and poverty and injustice are real. We are saved by a Savior who knows what it's like to be human, because he was. Jesus was fully human. But Jesus was also fully God. That's actually why we have two candles up on the altar. One candle is for Jesus' full humanity, and one candle is for Jesus' full divinity. It was his divine nature that would save us. Jesus came to plant one big tree that all humanity could branch off of. No more would there be slave or free. No more Jew or Greek. No more us versus them. Now we're all one through our faith in Jesus Christ, all connected to the same tree. But that doesn't mean that we all have to look the same and talk the same and come from the same place. God found a way to allow us to be unique and different and special and celebrate those things while our faith in the one head of the church, the one body of Christ. Our oneness is what keeps us connected through faith to every other Christian in the world and connected to Jesus himself. On Jesus' family tree, there is enough room for every one of you to be a fruit-bearing branch. And our communion liturgy invites us to be one with Christ and one with each other. On Jesus' tree, all people belong. On Jesus' tree, God is the root, bringing life and energy and nutrition to the entire tree. Firmly planted, unable to be moved or shaken, breaking through the most difficult of obstacles that get in its way. Jesus is the tree, the vessel through which God delivers all of these great things, and that great connection that we all share through our faith in the same Savior. And the people are the branches. Yes, different shapes, different sizes, each going in a different direction, each with its own particular amount of fruit and size of fruit, each of its own age and experience, yet all connected to the same tree. Fed by the same roots. Advent is not just a time to celebrate an event that happened 2,000 years ago. How do you prepare for something that's already happened? So one of the biggest misunderstandings of Advent is that we are not preparing for the first coming of Christ. We are preparing for the second coming, when Jesus comes back. And our connection through faith to Jesus Christ is assessed. When Christ returns, he will want to make sure that every branch of his tree loves every other branch, that every branch can see their connection through their faith in the same Messiah, and that they can see themselves as not an individual, but one of many. He will want to every branch on his tree, through their faith in him, has grown great fruit. Not on their own power, but through the power that comes through the roots and up the tree. That's how the branch gets its ability to grow fruit, right? Through the roots, through the tree, and then to the branches. We grow fruit not because of the appearance of our own branch. We are fruitful because of our connection to the tree and the roots, to Jesus and to God. If he were to return right now, what kind of branches would he find? What would your branch look like? If it has lots of fruit and loves every other branch on the whole tree, then last week's conversation would tell us that the kingdom of God has come to your branch. But many branches still have work to do. And that's okay, because we can get to work right now. The healthy branches have to help those branches that have more potential still left in them. The healthy branches who have a strong connection, healthy connection through faith to the tree, can go to other branches and help them become more connected to the tree. So we've all got work to do, no matter what our own branch looks like. This place, Christ's holy church, is where that work begins. Amen.